Welcome to the Life's a Pitch podcast, the show where we pitch the best movies that will never get made. I'm Tom McGrath.
And I'm Matt Turner. This is the podcast where we ask you, the listener, to give us a title of a movie that doesn't exist. Yet.
We then collaborate to create a pitch for that movie, complete with casting, story beats, and sometimes even marketing.
Without further ado, this week's main feature is...
business biopics.
Business biopics.
Yes, yeah.
I'm a businessman.
Think of your House of Gucci.
Thomas, I am here. I am Business Ben. And I am...
Business Ben?
I've come here to ask you to make me a movie.
Business Ben Mendelsohn?
It's me. The robot voice of Business Ben Mendelsohn.
Wow. What's Hello. Your surname again?
Business Ben Mendelsohn. And I need you to make me a script for a movie that promotes my latest and greatest product.
Okay, right. So, thinking like House of Gucci?
Just like House of Gucci.
Air. Ferrari?
Ferrari.
Bezos.
Bezos.
Bezos and Amazon story, or whatever
Bezos
it's called.
Bezos in the beginning.
That's a real movie, by the way, listeners.
Bezos the beginning.
Bezos the beginning, is that what it's called?
Bezos the beginning.
So they're planning on making more Bezos movies.
Bezos 2.
The Amazon. Bezos 2, the Amazon.
Bezos to the future.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what we're doing this
that's
week.
That's what we're doing. We've been contracted by a mysterious voice over the phone, which tells us we're gonna be paid $2 million.
Okay, that's enough money. Then we'll take $2 million. All right.
I think yeah,
it's £1 million.
I hope
each.
He said $2 million and not $2 million. But you know. I didn't hear him that well. I'm just going to make these scripts.
All right, cool. Yeah. I wasn't privy to that call, but I'll take your word for it. I hope to get $1
million, $1 million.
From this.
Yep.
So that's what we're doing this week.
Yep.
We're just going to be in the pitching room, getting down to the nitty-gritty, mm-hmm. maybe shouting at one another in front of a whiteboard with a load of numbers on it.
Yeah.
And a graph.
And going and scratching our heads because it doesn't quite look right.
No.
What should we name this thing? Oh boy. And then someone goes, like someone who looks the coolest out of all of us, goes like, I like that one.
Yeah. And then we go, oh my god.
And it's like, and it's the name fucking McDonald's or something. It's a Pepsi.
The founder.
Yeah, the founder's a classic one.
Yeah.
Especially because there is really a narrative around that, and it's there's a real bad guy in it. There's some juice to that.
The thing is, with the founder, I watched the first half of it the other day. Michael Keaton, right? He might be playing a good guy. We don't know. Because it's Michael Keaton,
it's just
we
Michael
assume
Keaton.
He's just really seedy.
He can only be a bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. Even when he's playing Batman, you're like...
you've clearly got some menace behind those eyes. But that's who you want to play if you want to play Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you've got to have a bit of danger.
I thought you were going to... off the top of your head, name the founder of McDonald's.
It's Skellyanne Hooplo.
Not Ronald McDonald.
No.
No. But yeah, that's what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, we're going to pitch the movies that we've been told to by a mysterious voice. We're going to pitch... they're all products, presumably.
Yes.
They're all for business.
Yes. Some of these may be made up. Some of these may be actual real products.
Yep.
That exist in the real world and we're just doing a biopic for them.
And I assume the ones that are made up are going to be products soon.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's we're going to be...
we assume.
Plugging the movie to sell the products,
exactly,
obviously.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah.
So yeah, people got in touch with us on our social medias. They are facebook.com/ Life's a Bitch Podcast, Twitter @ Life's a Bitch Show, and patreon.com/ Life's a Bitch Podcast as well.
Indeed.
More about that one at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So first off, from Francisco Pinto, we've got Ton of Thorns, The Rise and Fall of Thorntons.
Oh, Ton of Thorns, Thorntons. How do they get chocolate out of being buried under a ton of thorns?
A Ton of Thorns sounds like an offshoot of Game of Thrones.
I kind of feel like this is a kind of fairy tale biopic.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, the best chocolatier in the world was trapped, was cursed to sleep.
Like a kind of like Hans Christian Andersen kind of
sort of Sleeping Beauty, like there's this wall of thorns and they're like they're all in there or they're cursed to be sealed within a jail of thorns until someone could finally get them out.
Until someone finally made chocolate.
Yeah. At which point Catherine Tate is you mean the
I think there's a chocolatier.
Yeah.
Hiding in the woods.
Yeah.
And he comes down to the town.
Yeah.
And gives the chocolate out and everyone,
all the girls and boys.
Everyone gets addicted to this chocolate and they're just like, where does he come from? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then they realise that he's living in a house on top of this hill surrounded by thorn bushes.
Mm.
And so, like, he's basically got, like, home security because no one's getting his chocolate.
Okay, so he gives it out, but nobody's getting it.
Nobody's getting it. Like, it's under his control.
Right, okay.
The villain in this is someone who runs a hotel in the village.
Okay, Hotel Chocolat.
That also makes chocolate.
Okay.
In France.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Right?
Okay, yep.
Hotel Chocolat.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, okay, so that's what this is, right?
Yeah.
Is like a long time ago, two friends, maybe nay brothers, used to do make chocolate together.
Yeah.
And one of them was just in it for the love of making chocolate, loved, you know, kids and wanted to give them sweet treats and stuff. Yeah. The other decided to take it to start a business and like only allow the people who check in at his hotel.
Is this like a Pizza Hut Papa John's kind of scenario?
Kinda, yeah.
Where the two guys who made Pizza Hut had a differing opinion on how to make pizza, and then one became insane and opened up Papa John's.
Yes, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So basically, right, this old person, this person who's like coming into town every day.
Mm.
Right, they've only got one bit of chocolate, like one little stick of chocolate, right? And they're dragging themselves in. They're like, oh, barely able to make it, right? And they put it down on the counter, right? And the innkeep says, they're like, the tavern keep says, there you are. Yeah, three shekels for your one little bit of chocolate. I love to give it to my wife, right? But then one day, the wife falls ill, can't, and there's a kid, I don't know, it's young Maisie Williams or something. He's going, why is he always so cut and bruised when he comes into town? Why is he always struggling with just that one, why doesn't he bring more? And he goes, oh, nobody knows, he just walks into the briar and goes, goes off to, he lives in the woods. And then, of course, one day the tavern keeper's wife is ill, so he gives this chocolate to Maisie Williams, and she says, this is the best chocolate I've ever tasted in my whole life!
Yeah.
I'm going to follow that old man into the woods and find out where he goes.
Oh, no.
And turns out, the reason he's only able to bring one bit of chocolate every day is because he's got to walk through a thorn patch that's like been grown by his conniving brother, the hotelier.
I thought that Maisie Williams would steal the chocolate making secrets.
Mm.
Like she'd have to like cut through thorns and stuff to get there.
Well, she does.
She steals the chocolate making things. And...
But like, it's one of those things where she follows this mysterious man, right? She has to pick through all the briar and things, and he's like, oh, he's cut and bruised, but he's wearing big overcoat. It's like, he's like the shovel man from Home Alone.
Okay.
He's scary, but also vulnerable and old.
Willem Dafoe.
Right, yes. Yeah. Willem Dafoe in a big greatcoat with a bit of a mask on.
Yeah.
Right? And goggles and stuff, like goggles and a mask.
Yeah.
And a hat. And so he's like a scary woodsman, right? And he comes and he drops his one bit of chocolate and he gets his thing and he goes back into it. And she follows.
Mm.
she follows him into that briar patch, following in his wake, getting cut and bruised and snagged on all the thorns. And she's like, oh, I should have brought a bigger coat. She's had to leave a coat behind because it got snagged on a briar.
Mm.
So she eventually sneaks into his house to steal these chocolate things.
Mm.
But in the process, finds out that he's bandaging his wounds, and he's a sad old man because his brother keeps growing thorns around his house.
He wanted to keep the Thornton's secret.
Yeah, his brother keeps, because brother of Hotel Chocolat is the one serving the rest of the town with all the chocolate.
Right,
The less good quality chocolate. Yeah. And
is it though?
And he keeps, it is in this because told.
Of course, if we're making a biopic about Thornton's, of course Hotel Chocolat is going to be the worst chocolate ever.
And he only gives it to the kids who can afford to stay at the hotel.
Mm.
Right? You can't get it in town. You can only get it if you go. So Maisie Williams is being bullied by the rich kids, the snobby kids, because they get to go to the hotel because they've got a room up there. They can come back with bundles and armfuls of rubbish chocolate.
Yeah.
And Maisie Williams has got better taste than that. Oh, so she's like,
going for the good stuff.
She's going for the good
stuff. She's going for those little mousses you get, you know, with the little sugar
Oh. She's snuck away in the house.
Little and truffles.
And then that's when there's a bang on the door. Because, she's about to get caught. Because she sneezes with the cocoa powder.
Yeah.
And he goes, what's over there in this cupboard? Someone's in my cupboard. And then he starts opening the cupboard and then there's on the door.
Yeah.
And it's Adrian Brody, Hotel Chocolat chocolatier.
This is a Wes Anderson movie now, isn't it?
It is now, actually. Yeah. Welcome, Maisie, to the Wes Anderson universe.
I was going to say, it had like a kind of picture book feel to it.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing could be in 2D, almost. Yeah. Like a 2D sort of, I don't know.
Almost like an animation thing, but like you'd turn a page and get to your next slightly. And I think that Wes Anderson fits that very nicely.
Yeah, or like what was it, Song of the Sea, that kind of style. I can't remember the name of the animation house that do it, the Irish one.
Yeah, I know the one.
They're really good. But yeah, that kind of stuff.
And Adrian Brody's like, "Are you brother, brother? Are you ready to pay your rent?"
Yes, I will pay. I think what Adrian Brody wants is the secrets.
Yeah,
is his mother's old recipe, and it's like Willem Dafoe won't give it to him.
One of these days, brother,
you'll
take me up on my offer. You'll give me mother's recipe in exchange, because you can barely pay for rent now because you only have one shekel per day. From your single bar of chocolate that you're taking to market, whereas I have all the money of Hotel Chocolat.
And so I think Willem Dafoe dies.
He does more exposition, right?
Of course.
Well, when mother died, you may have gotten her secret chocolate recipe, but I got the hotel. I got the house.
I think. When Willem Dafoe dies, because he's got it in his memory, he does a weird chocolate blood transfusion ceremony with Maisie Williams.
Yeah. She goes into his memories.
She goes into his memories, and then that's when she learns how to make Thornton's chocolate.
Yeah, that's it. He's like, he does a bit of a Willy Wonka situation where he's like, "And this is my special. This will give you your favourite smell. This will smell like your favourite smell.
And this is the little moose truffles.
Those ones with the little sugar.
These are my best ones.
These are the best ones. They don't do anything like magic or anything. They're just simply the best chocolates.
They're just the best ones. You know the ones. If anyone's bought selection boxes from Thornton's, you know exactly which ones we're talking about.
He turns to the camera. You know the ones.
The little brown domes.
You guys at home, you know the ones.
Oh, love them.
But he's like, and this one, my masterpiece, is it tastes something awful. But if you share it with someone, then you can delve into their memories. And so he's dying.
Mm.
And she goes, well, can I... can I jump into your memories? And so she jumps into the memories, has a little adventure. Mm. I would say sort of, you know, Mary Poppins-esque animated adventure.
Yeah, so it's animated. It's a different style of animation they go into.
Yeah, well, I don't think this is animated. I think it's like it's just got like a very storybook style. Yeah. Like the backgrounds are all kind of painterly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in a kind of Wes Anderson way, where you're like, that's not a real background, but it feels like it.
Of course.
It's, you know, it's like it's a set.
Yeah.
And then when she goes into the chocolatier's memories, then you've got your animation.
Mm.
And she finds out the secret to making all the chocolate by.
Can in one of those scenes be Alfred Molina?
Sure.
Going to town on some chocolate from the movie Chocolate.
Yeah. He was there hiding in a corner.
Yeah, he's there watching the whole time. Yeah. Like, occasionally the film will sort of flash that scene up.
Yep.
Just YouTube this
scene. Yeah, if you haven't seen this scene, it's pretty wild.
It's just him, like, I don't think he's getting naked, is he?
No, but it just feels like he should be.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's so sacrosanct is this to him.
He's just really, really loving that chocolate.
He thinks he really feels like he's being dirty by eating all this chocolate.
He's just he's surrounded by velvet. It's...
Yeah.
I forgot about that scene
It's a saucy scene.
Yeah.
It is a saucy scene.
Yeah, but it's perfect for this movie.
Yeah, perfect for this particular movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess she makes the chocolate. There's a bit where she gets trapped in the hotel. She gets...
Yes.
As she leaves, she gets, like, bagged up by the two baddie boys and the kind of goons.
Yeah.
And taken off to the tallest room of the hotel and forced to make chocolate for them.
Yeah,
whipping it and that sort of thing.
And I think she sort of breaks her way out by offering the guards these little moose
boys. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't come up with any more magic ones, so we've got to go with the only one we did describe.
They're irresistible. They're irresistible. These Thornton's chocolates, they're just, oh! These guards cannot resist. These hotel guards cannot resist.
These porters.
Yeah. These porters with spears and helmets.
Yeah, they can't resist, and she gets out. She casts him across and then she runs out, gets out, climbs out window on a piece of long piece of toffee.
Yeah.
She whips up she cooks up a really long, stretchy piece of toffee for her to use as a rope to climb out the window.
She basically does what Tony Stark does in the beginning of Iron Man, but with chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. She's been forced
makes her way out of the cave.
Good chocolate.
with chocolate, not a metal weapon.
And then, brings the tale to the town, and they burn down Hotel Chocolat.
Yeah, Ton of Thorns, the rise and fall of Thornton's.
Fall? Oh yeah, yeah. Thornton.
She trips over a bit.
He dies.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. There we go.
Not much of a business biopic, but I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it's a nice little fairy tale about chocolate. So probably the best fairy tale about chocolate this year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Certainly.
Yeah.
Almost certainly.
Well, we got Wonka.
Yep.
And also the Willy Wonka experience.
I forgot about that.
Need to do a business biopic about that guy.
Oh,
Jesus.
God, yeah.
So, from Mike Ross Oft Windows.
Uh-huh.
We've got The Secret Magic of Wizards of the Coast.
The Secret Magic of Wizards of the Coast.
So Wizards of the Coast, they're the D&D people.
They're the people who bought D&D.
They bought D&D.
Yeah. So TSR were the people who made D&D. Well, yeah. There's quite a busy business story about Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
And it would make for a really good movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But no one will ever make the movie because the people who currently own the rights are Hasbro. And, like, they are a bit busy being like, you know, like it's got this legend behind it, like they don't want to sully Dungeons and Dragons' name with any real history.
But now that Barbie's got a film,
yeah,
Hasbro are really needing to come out with something. What, they got Transformers and G.I. Joe?
Yeah, and Magic the Gathering.
Snake Eyes?
Yeah, my favourite story about Magic the Gathering, like business-wise or culturally, is the whole... And same with D&D, is the Satanic Panic era of the world. So maybe we can use a bit of that. We can use a bit of, like, the secret magic of Hasbro. That's right, secret magic of Wizards of the Coast.
You know, right, so when we were talking about business biopics, we go with, like, a like good propaganda for these companies and their origins.
Yeah.
I think we go the opposite way around for this one.
We are the Satanic the Panic agenda. We want to bring them down and expose them as real wizards.
Oh yeah. No, they are Satan.
They already did one of those. It was called, like, Caves and... It was the Tom Hanks one.
But I think we...
Tom Hanks knows. Mel Brooks.
I think Tom Hanks was in it.
Was it?
Yeah.
What was it
called? Tom Hanks was definitely in a Dungeons and Dragons... sort of rip-off movie.
Was it Tom Hanks? Was it really?
Yeah.
Mazes and Monsters, it was called, and it was Tom Hanks, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's really bad. But, so that's kind of been done, because, like, Mazes and Monsters is a movie about a game that cons people into thinking that they're a wizard and then gets them lost in a cave.
Yeah.
So they go crazy and die.
I think we should do to Wizards of the Coast what Spotlight did for the Catholic Church.
Right, we're really rumbling them.
Yeah.
But as wizards.
Yeah, as wizards.
Yeah, people who are casting spells on people to make them buy their games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, this is illegal. It's like, it's kind of... So if wizards really existed, right, and they cast spells to make people buy their products, right?
Yeah.
And it was all done sort of under...
Secretly.
Yeah, it'd be kind of like an Air Bud situation, right? It'd
be
like,
there's no law against casting a spell.
No laws against wizards.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, maybe... Right, okay, right, so... Maybe there is laws against wizards in some random Puritan parts of the US.
Yeah, and they have to bait them into moving their operation to there so they can try them.
So there's, like, sort of leftover laws from, like, the witch trials.
Salem, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's a biopic about this thing that definitely happened, where it just so happened... that the Wizards of the Coast HQ is set up in Salem.
I think they've got to bait the core wizards by, like, away from the somewhere and say, like, tell them that they know, like, we've got evidence or whatever. So they come and try and stop them in Salem, and they're like, ha ha!
It's one of those things where it's like, no one's good in this film.
Yeah.
I think it's the FBI are investigating some tax stuff that Wizards of the Coast are doing.
Yeah.
And then they stumble across the fact that they're using magic.
Yep.
And it's like, shit, their taxes are okay, but they're using magic.
And Keith David's there like, well, there aren't any laws.
Yeah. There wasn't any laws against magic. And then, like, this whole...
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take you off this case, guys, because there's no case here.
So there's this whole group of FBI people in this room just, like, arguing about how, like, there's definitely something going on with Wizards of the Coast. This is ridiculous. This is insane. Like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then David Duchovny... sat by a blackboard at the back of the room, just scratches his nails down.
Yeah.
I can catch you some wizards, he says.
He's wearing a tall hat with a wide brim.
With, like, stars and moon on it.
No, he's wearing one of those. He's wearing one of those pilgrim, like, witch hunter hats.
Yes, he's wearing one of those.
A Puritan hat.
He's got, like, an Amish beard going.
I can catch you some wizards.
Yeah. And then he gets a...
he's like, who is it? Who is this guy?
And he gets a butcher knife and just chops a turkey's head off.
Yeah. Who's this guy? Oh, Witchfinder General. Yeah. Apparently they still exist.
And they're in the FBI. Yeah. Who knows? Who knew?
He's come over from the CIA.
Yeah. And so, right, we get him on a legal loophole. What wizards don't want to do is pay tax, which is why you're all in this room right here. I don't know why David Duchovny sounds like this. David Duchovny sounds like, which is why you're all in this room right here.
Well, you're all in the room right here.
And I think the story is basically them sort of creating an irresistible tax haven in Salem.
Yep.
So that they move the base of a, like, I don't think they move like physically.
Yeah.
They move like, so you know those people who say they've got their headquarters in the Cayman Islands.
Yeah.
But in fact they don't own any building there at all.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of thing. They say they operate in Salem is like, right. We've got him.
We've got him. Now we must have, but then there's a big gunfight, or wand versus gunfight.
Wand versus gunfight, yeah.
Yeah, and eventually they, whoever's the main character of this, like, the main focus, other than David Duchovny and...
Keith David.
Yeah, because Keith David's, like the boss, right?
Yeah, yeah, he's the head of the FBI, yeah.
Yeah. Who else is in this?
David Duchovny, we've got... Daniel Radcliffe. He's one of the wizards of the coast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah, he's a bad wizard.
Yeah.
Of the coast.
He's a bad wizard of the coast.
I mean, they're all bad.
We got,
right?
Matthew Mercer. He's D&D adjacent.
Yeah, he is. He's also one of the wizards of the coast.
He's D&D man.
And then I think who else works for the FBI? Lance Reddick.
Lance Reddick.
Yeah, he is. He's like our main one.
Yeah,
the one we follow most closely, obviously. Yeah. And he gets shot with a laser spell.
A laser spell. Yeah.
By Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh yeah.
And he's like, oh, you've hit me. Oh, can I? Hey, before I die. Sorry, before I die.
Oh yeah, no.
Can I pay you $1 for that smoke you got in your pocket? And he's like, and Daniel Radcliffe's like, yes, you can, because I love money.
I'm a wizard.
I'm a wizard who loves money.
I fucking love money.
I fucking love. He rubs his hands together. I fucking love money.
Yeah.
So I will give you this. Cigarette that I have in my pocket, but actually it's going to cost you $2. And he's like, it's my last cigarette. And he's like, yes, but it'll cost $2. And then he goes, I guess you're going to take it on my corpse anyway. He hands him $2, right? Mm. And he goes, you didn't pay tax on that.
Cut to Daniel Radcliffe in jail.
Yep.
Their wands have been confiscated by the CIA and the FBI.
Exactly.
Working in tandem. Yep. There's a whole B-plot of them not getting on about how to tackle wizards.
The fucking people at the CIA are Big Bird, Kermit the Frog.
They just so happen to be Muppets.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, whenever, yeah. It's just... they are, of course, the CIA, famous for destabilizing countries and then installing puppet dictators.
Oh yeah, in the background we've got Gonzo running around.
Gonzo's fucking Cuba up.
Fozzie Bear's over in Guatemala.
Yeah. That was
The Secret Magic of Wizards of the Coast. From Stuart Dunlop, we've got Crash of the Moon Pig.
Do you remember Moon Pig?
It's still going. Yeah, still is going. Yeah. I got a card for my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Last year from Moonpig. From
Well, that was very kind of him.
Yeah, that was nice. It was like, hi, Tom, this is Moonpig.
Is that why you chose this one?
No, I just really enjoy the wordplay of, like, Crash of the Moonpig. Like, Moonpig is some kind of alien thing.
Yeah, I like that. I kind of like the idea that, like, it could be there's a crash.
Yeah.
The Moonpig.
The Moonpig's gone down.
And then... Also, there's a market crash after Moonpig undercuts Hallmark. You've got a natural baddie.
The Hallmark, the natural baddie.
The Hallmark Corporation.
I think
we
kind of do a bit of that.
Yeah.
But what I initially got from this is a kind of E.T. story.
Yeah, I thought you were going for an E.T. sort of story. Yeah. I think there's a pretty clear progression here of E.T. comes down.
Mm.
Somehow... Elliot type person.
Well,
they together make greetings cards out of the internet.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, right? So we have, what's his name? We've got Elliot.
Yeah.
But he's now grown up.
Oh, this is literally.
What's his name?
Character.
No. What's his name? Thomas someone.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, I know it. The guy from
All of Twice.
The guy from the Netflix horror stuff. Now, he's in all the horror things. The Fall of the House of Usher. The Hill House one.
Yeah.
He's in E.T. The kid from E.T. So this man, he's playing a sort of put down. Card graphic designer for Hallmark.
Right.
And Mr. Hallmark.
Yeah.
Is like.
Mark Hall. Yeah.
Is like.
I'm Mark Hall, and I'm telling you to buy more Valentine's Day cards. He's saying, right, start this introduction of this.
Is this Roger Allam or Matt Berry?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm Mark Hall, and I'm telling you we need more! More! And then it's like, more what? And it's like, more saints! And he cut round, and he's shouting at the Pope. Valentine's Day is a hit!
We've really got to sell Mark Hall as the worst person
and
in
incredibly
the world.
Powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
The Pope's cowering.
Spiritually and, like...
Yeah.
Economically powerful Mark Hall from Hallmark.
He's like, Valentine's Day's a hit. I want more of them. more cards.
Well, Mr. Hall, Your Excellency, we can we can maybe do one a St. George, a Dragon's Day.
A Dragon's Day, I like it. Is it for business owners like me?
I guess. Give your boss a card.
Yes,
I don't know.
Give your boss a card. I know I'd like to receive a card.
Why has Mark Hall hired the Pope as a fucking focus group?
I think I wanted him to invent more saints, not just say...
That's where that bit went, though.
Yeah, yeah. He started... It's like, no! That's not good enough, Pope!
Well, this is a similar position that Elliot from E.T. is in.
Yeah.
Because he's the one designing these cards.
Yeah.
And Mr. Hall is going around just screaming at people in booths, just like, get this done! And he's got a whip made of cards.
Yep.
I'm on a boat later on, and I want 5,000 cards to hand out to my equally rich friends. We're looking at making a terrible Christmas movie in the next few months. And so Elliot from E.T., he goes back home and he's just like, oh, what a terrible day. And his wife's just like, you've got to get out of there, Elliot from E.T.
Elliot from E.T., yeah.
I'm Margaret from E.T.
The sister?
No, his wife.
Okay.
They got married and she took his surname from E.T.
From E.T.?
From it.
From it.
Yeah.
And people ask her whether she's from the movie E.T.
No, she's like, that was Drew Barrymore.
And they're like, oh, yeah, because it would be weird if...
Yeah.
If you were the girl from E.T. and you'd married the boy from E.T.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and she's like, yeah, it's a shame because no one can remember my husband's name. Despite the fact that he's called Elliot from E.T.
And he makes such good greetings cards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, incredible. Yeah. Incredible greetings cards.
But nobody ever remembers his name, especially not his boss, Mark Hall.
Yeah, Mark Hall, played by Roger Allam or Matt Berry.
Yes, both
maybe at the same time.
Yeah.
In a kind of sort of two-headed...
two-headed Dr. Parnassus situation.
Yeah, yeah. Or like a Zaphod Beeblebrox kind of
yeah,
character.
It's like two heads on his shoulder.
Two heads, one sort of stuck to his shoulder a bit. God, I've not thought about that character for years.
Yeah.
So he goes home and he's like, oh, God. And then suddenly you hear this... like maybe just sort of like a...
See, that...
It's night.
The two combinations of things you've just done make it sound like there's a cartoon man sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's a pig snorting, but also falling down.
Yeah.
As he walks into basically the back garden from E.T., right?
Yeah, yeah.
The moon...
He's still living in the same fucking house.
Yeah. Calling the house from E.T. The hill house from E.T. And the moon's in the background, and you just see this thing just, like, smash into his shed. You know the shed that the baseball comes out of in E.T.?
Yeah, yeah, it bounces
out. He throws it back in. And he's out there smoking a cigarette.
Oh, it's edgy.
Yeah, it's edgy. It's a biopic.
Yeah.
It's edgy. And so this pig comes out.
Yeah.
And... gives him inspiration.
Yeah. This space pig.
Yeah, this pig's like, hey!
Yeah. Go on.
Wanna make cards?
he just says that immediately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I grant wishes.
Grant wishes.
I grant wishes.
And he's like, what kind of wishes? And he's like, I don't know. Ask for something. Wish for something. And he's like, can you...
long as they're internet website related.
Can you do a backflip?
Yep.
Boing! And he just does a flip. He goes, any more wishes?
They gotta be internet related. It's like, wait, what? What? It's like, yeah, the internet's a whole thing now. That's why I came down here from the moon.
Ever heard of it?
I'm the moon pig. Ever heard of it? Ever heard of the internet? And the guy's like, well, it's the mid-noughties.
Wait, I think that... First, we have him. Do you know? Can we cut the wife?
Yeah, sure.
Because I think
Margaret from E.T.
Yeah, I think he's lonely.
Okay.
Right. Not that this is like. I just think he's lonely because he's telling his woes to someone on the internet.
Okay.
He's in email, he's on a forum saying like, "Oh, my boss is really bad. I make these great things, but no one understands me or ever remembers my name."
Yeah.
And then he's like. You know, he's met this person. He's had this friendship connection with.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that was the moon pig,
right?
Who was like living on the moon and like who came, it was like it's like moon pig 1000.
Okay, right. This moon pig's come down.
Yeah.
Bearing a card that's been designed
just for him.
Just for him. Personalized card for him, and he's like, "This is great. This is a really good idea."
Yeah,
I'm going to quit my job at Hallmark tomorrow and just do this. And the moon pig's like, yeah, I think you should.
Oh, okay. So the moon pig doesn't have a card because Elliot, of course, is the one who designs cards.
Mm.
Moon pig is just moved in.
Yeah.
Right? And he's that annoying, like sudden friendship that they have that like odd couple thing where he's like,
yeah.
You can't eat everything in my fridge, and he's like, I just like eating.
You can't put a dressing gown on and get drunk, moon pig.
And he goes like, do you have a restroom? and we all know it's Danny DeVito.
It's Danny DeVito.
Do you have a restroom? And he goes, yeah, just there. He's like, no, I mean a restroom. And he's like, he points to where Elliot's computer is, right? And Elliot's like, that's not a restroom. that's a computer. Right? And he goes, what do you mean? That's the restroom. And he, and I can feel it. And he goes and he plugs his tail into the, into the,
into the internet
floppy disk. Oh, slot. Yeah. Or yeah, the, yeah. No, yeah, you're right. The what do they call it? The Cat 4 or whatever it is.
Yeah, the, I should know this.
You should. You work in the industry. The phone line connector.
The phone line. Yeah.
He plugs it into the dial up modem.
Yeah.
And he goes.
It did sound like a pig snorting.
And the whole contents of the fridge.
Yeah.
That he's just eaten, get uploaded into an email.
What? Where is this going?
Just like 8-bit. Yeah. Burgers and like 8-bit pizza and 8-bit carrots and stuff. At which point, they now know that, and also the thing he's eaten off his desk is one of these cards.
Yeah.
Right? That he's carefully designed to show to, Mark Hall.
Yeah.
Right? This card, which, you know, Elliot's really mad that he's not getting, is, of course, now on the internet, digitized.
Yeah.
And he's like,
this is a revolution.
I could email this.
Yeah. I could email it. Yeah. I could maybe print it off and send it to someone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Anyone around the world who has a printer.
Yeah. And then the business takes off.
Yep. And that's when Mark Hall tries to foil it.
Yeah.
He brings his whole empire to bear.
Pope! Get in here!
Scusi.
Where are we at?
On the new saints. Oh, well, Mr. What does he call it? Like, signore?
Signor Hall.
Is it? Is that in Italian?
I don't know.
He's
Spanish anyway, the Pope.
Is he?
I think. Yeah.
Hey, Signor Hall. We have a pinboard of a potential new saints. Saint Liam, who is good for you. Buy your best friend a diamond if they fell off their bike.
I don't get it, Pope. What's my next one?
This is Saint Khaleesi.
Saint Khaleesi. From the Game of Thrones.
The patron saint of Game of Thrones.
Very popular in 10 years' time. that book series I've been reading. That new book series I've been reading. Wonderful.
If your friend dies at a wedding, you send them this card. The rest of that meeting goes on, and he's like, but, and it goes. Because basically the Pope is now in this, like, role of, like, subservient.
The underling.
Yeah. Like, but, sir, I have
this been... better be good news, Pope.
Sir, I have been on the internet.
The what?
The internet. I use it to browse. Let us say, good wishes. I received an email.
Yeah.
Of well-wishing me on my
birthday. An email! And it's basically 10 minutes of the Pope describing the internet.
The Pope has received a greetings card for his birthday.
Rowan Atkinson playing the Pope, isn't it? Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's received a greetings card...
From Moonpig.
Yeah, from the Moonpig.
Yeah.
Who is a Catholic.
Who's a Catholic.
That's right. Devout
That's
Catholic.
What they say. He was like, are we going to go to McDonald's on the way home from work? Is the Moonpig a Catholic?
That's a phrase now. Yeah. Well, it was. It's always been a phrase.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
And so I think, because Elliot from E.T.'s left Hallmark now.
Yep.
And it's like, damn it! And I think Mark Hall should try and
shut down the internet.
Yeah.
He's going to try and shut down the internet. And that will kill the moon pig because he's an internet being.
Oh, yeah. So I think Elliot from E.T. has got a... I think this is the lowest point is when Mark Hall shuts down the internet.
And Moonpig is like... And you know how E.T. is when he's like that capsule?
He falls down the river. Yeah. His Moonpig was pink at one point, but now he's just white and sort of like freaking out in the river.
Exactly. And
his older brother finds him on a bike.
Yeah. And, you know, Elliot from E.T. has to find a way to stop the internet being shut down.
Yeah. He goes over to Google.
Yeah. Oh yeah, cameo.
Yeah, yeah.
A cameo from Google Man.
From Mr. Google,
Mr. Jeremy Google.
Jeremy Google?
Yeah.
Yeah. He made Google in his basement, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, I think, with £5.
Yeah, I think that's it.
He's like, I'll search the internet for you for a way in to Hallmark's facility.
And that's the birth of Moonpig.
Yeah.
That's how it got so popular.
That's it.
It's all over Google.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go. It's the crash of Moonpig. Thank you, Stuart Dunlop,
Mark
for that.
Mark Hall got uploaded to the recycle bin.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's there now. If you look at the recycle
Let
bin.
Me out!
Yeah. If you look in the trash bin,
you
see a little pixel going, no!
And that's Mark Hall.
Yeah.
Moonpig ate him and put him in the bin.
It's why the Pope looks so happy now.
Yeah.
As well, because Mark Hall's disappeared into. He's been tronned.
And since then, since the mid 2000s, the papacy's gone from strength to strength.
I bet it has.
Yeah, I'm not looking it up, but
maybe. Yeah, it's Vatican, not Vatican. All right, so those were all our film titles.
Okay, they were great fun. They were.
Yeah.
Great, lots of boardroom scenes and like real business stuff going on.
Oh,
in those.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Some absolute wonders of the business world. It's amazing how these products got made.
All those boardroom scenes that we saw in the Vatican.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for everyone who supports us on Patreon. If you want to help us out, thank you for those of you who gave us titles, of course. But if those of you want to help us out financially, keep us going, hosting costs money, and it's not free for us to keep the podcast running. So those of you who help are kind of lifesavers on that. And if you want to support just silliness like this, then go over to patreon.com/lifetopitchpodcast and give us a bit of money each month, as little as a dollar. That's a very small amount.
That's a very small amount.
Tom, some of our patrons have become what I would describe as Dune pills.
Spice pills.
Spice. They're on spice.
They're on spice melange.
Yeah. So I'm going to point at you anytime I need you to read out a word from Dune, or at least a patron name from Dune.
Okay, right.
I think if I suspect that this is from Dune, I'm going to point at you.
Okay, right.
Okay. Thank you to Spanky, Mick Ross Oft Windows.
Get yourself a naughty worm bucket meal.
Stephen D. Thomas. Ho, ho, ho. We're going to keep flogging this Christmas episode until we get off our asses and make a new one, or orcsaredorks.podbean.com. Fingers to hand.
Lisan Al-Ghaib taking the ginger electrician's wife to Finger Avenue while he sorts your fuses out.
James Delaney.
Me chanting worm, worm, worm. You chanting worm, worm, worm. The entire theatre chanting worm, worm, worm.
It was me all along. The name's Gumboot. Ptolemy Gumboot, Chicago PD, retired, there, see, a confession, case closed. Rebecca, ends a film quote here later, beachy. Wish I'd gone to gut level now. Hell, even climbing would be better than this downpour of awful. Brent Black. Question box. Retired. Thanks, Inspector. You did have it. Lock them up and have the keys shot. And young Thomas. Never flitting. Still is sitting. On the bust of Matthew. Just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a Joseph Hegarty. That is dreaming. And the lamplight o'er them streaming. Throws their podcast upon the floor. And my soul from out that shadow lies floating on the floor. Perched, sat, considered, Matt, a bird, the inspector, nevermore. The serial dragon and family. Mr. Bennett replied that he had not. Deny human, deny human, deny human.
Lexator Parsnak and his revolving spice mines. You want the Patreon name length secret? We have a Bene Gesserit who just shouts, longer!
Hark, the herald angels sing of the second Patreon account I created to join this stupid ARG.
Duncan Idaho being a brat and saying no when the big lady tells him what to do.
Zoe!
Wearing a cone of silence to the cinema and everybody thinks I'm just a fucking puppy. You idiots are all gonna get caught by the voice.
Time to cancel Tom for being a pinko commie who hides under beds. Nutmeg, the lachrymose donkey. Thank you to all those people.
Thank you to everyone who supports us over on Patreon. And I want to thank Stuart Dunlop for giving us this week's main title, main feature pitch, and also mention that we were on his radio play.
We were.
The latest episode of Keo and Maxi.
Yes.
Keo and Maxi's Adventures in Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Find that on Spotify, and we're in the latest episode.
We're in the latest episode. There's a pair of blooming guards.
Pair of blooming guards.
Aren't we? Yeah.
All right, well, go over and listen to that. It's a very fun, if you like Douglas Adams. And I want to give Stuart Dunlop again props for the Yes Very Clever Award this week. It seems to be a very Stuart-heavy episode.
Yeah.
So the Yes Very Clever Award we give out to someone who's given us a title based around an existing title. And he's given us Air, the musical.
Air, the musical?
Yeah.
Like Nike Air?
Yeah, the musical. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck talking about shoes, singing about shoes. Only on Apple TV Plus,
yeah, not,
apparently.
Not about the Alton Towers ride, then.
Oh, it could have been, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well. It's 1.5 hours of that.
That how long that ride is?
Yeah. The queues are 15 hours long.
Well, until next time, I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Tom McGrath. Remember who pitched it.